We're very happy to be here and trust God will bless our brief time of ministry together in the Word of God. I had thought of another subject this evening, but on communicating with our dear brother earlier during the day, he said there would be a preponderance of young people at the meeting. And of course we can't leave the young people out, can we? The Lord said, feed my lambs. And so this evening we're going to concentrate on the lambs. And then the old sheep can pick up the bits that lie around, shall we? We're giving the young people preference this evening, and I'm sure during the course of the ministry, there'll be somewhat for the older ones as well. Now, shall we turn for two short readings? First of all, in the Gospel by John, chapter 1. And the subject under discussion is the Lordship of Christ in the life of Peter. Shall I repeat that? If you forget everything I say, you'll remember the heading, the Lordship of Christ in the life of Peter. The Gospel by John, chapter 1, and reading at verse 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a star. Now Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and reading at verse 31. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Now, chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. God will bless to our hearts these portions of his word. There are two questions that occur in the first passage we read in the Gospel by John. And the question first is, what seek ye? The Lord Jesus Christ turned around and he saw two disciples following him. And he turned around and he said, what seek ye? And they returned question to the Master and said, Master, where dwellest thou? And the Lord replied, come and see. And all I have to say this evening surrounds these two questions. What seek ye? Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see. Well, if I was to ask every one of you here this evening, where do you live? I'd get an answer. I'd get some address in some street in some part of the city, and you'll tell me precisely where you live. But when they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. And then, strange as it may seem, it says they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, but it was an unnamed place. But after we find Andrew bringing Simon Peter to the Lord, and the Lord looks at the young man and he says, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be Cephas. And Peter has a wonderful experience with the Lord at the first meeting with the Savior. And as the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter, he summed up his whole life. And he said, thou art. In one word, the Lord could sum up the whole of Peter's life. The Lord could sum up his triumphs and his tragedies, his weaknesses and his strengths. The Lord Jesus could sum up everything pertaining. He says, thou art. And he says, thou shalt be. In other words, he says, realism and idealism is expressed in the Lord's word. And so firstly we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the subject before our minds, the Lordship of Christ in the life of Peter, we find at the very first meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ with Peter, he enters into Peter's heart. And that's where we begin, isn't it? Where do we begin in Christian life and experience? And how do we begin in following the Lord Jesus Christ in a life of discipleship? Well, the first experience is that the Lord Jesus Christ must of necessity be received into our hearts. And that answers our first question. Master, where dwellest thou? The Lord Jesus dwells in the heart of every child of God, everyone who by faith has received him as their own and personal Savior. And when you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, in one look, he sums up our whole life. He knows everything pertaining to each one of us. And there's nothing hid from his all-seeing eye. And there's nothing unknown to him. Young man, young woman, in the meeting of this evening, let me address you with this fact. That the Lord Jesus Christ can look at you and say, thou art. And sum up your whole life. He knows every happening. He knows every doing. He knows every secret thing of the heart and life. And he wants to enter into your heart. He says, thou art. Thou shalt be. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ could express what Peter was by human nature and what he could be by the grace of God. What Peter was in the weakness of himself and what he could be by the power of God. What he was in human insufficiency and what he could achieve through divine all-sufficiency. If only we, like Peter, would allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and lives. The Lord Jesus can take possession of the heart and life of every man and every woman, every boy and every girl, and make them what he desires them to be, and can make them what they wish themselves to be. Thou art, thou shalt be. Master, where dwellest thou? Come and say. If we ask this question in the Old Testament, we find an answer in the book of Isaiah. And the scripture says that God dwells in the most high and holy place. with him also, that he's of a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. But here we find that the Lord Jesus dwells in the heart of the child of God who received him. How beautiful to hear the children in the Sunday school singing, "Into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And that's a perfectly scriptural prayer. And it's a spiritual prayer. And every person should request the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into their hearts. And when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at us, he speaks the word of life. He speaks the word of salvation. Not only did the Lord speak this creation into being, as we have in Psalm 46, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So, Lord, the Lord speaks the word of life according to his promise. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that moment, when the Lord addressed himself to Peter, Peter was quickened into life, and the Lord Jesus Christ entered into his heart. But now, as we come and we follow Peter in his itinerary after he found the Savior, and we turn to Luke's account that we've read, we read that the first place the Lord Jesus Christ led Peter into was into the synagogue. And it says they came down to Capernaum, and he taught them on the Sabbath days, and in the synagogue was where they found themselves. And in the synagogue, we keep in our mind's eye how Peter is following the Lord, his newfound master, in this newfound experience. The Lord Jesus has entered into his heart and into his life, and now he's following the Lord in the way, and the Lord leads him into the synagogue. And here in the synagogue, Peter witnesses a wonderful display of divine power. How the Lord emancipated these demon-possessed people by divine power. And the statement he's made, what a word is this, for with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And Peter must have been amazed. Peter must have thought, well, I have experienced the power of God in my life as far as salvation is concerned, and look how wonderfully he displays his power in the deliverance of poor creatures that are bound by demonic power. And Peter must have been amazed at it, what it says they were amazed. And that Peter must have been thrilled when he saw it. And it is wonderful. Peter not only experienced the power of God in his life, he now sees the display of the power of God in others. And you know, if you've never experienced the power of God in your life, you don't know what it means. But when you've seen it in your own life and you've seen it in the life of others, it is amazing. And we apply the question to the second stage in Peter's tour with the Lord. Master, where dwellest thou? In the synagogue. In the place of assembly. The place of instruction. In the place of communion. The place of worship. The place of prayer. And that is the first place the Lord Jesus Christ leads the soul after they've had an experience of blessing in the life. The first thing the Lord does, he brings us into fellowship with himself and with his people. I don't believe the Lord ever meant us to be a kind of a freelancer. The Lord said, "Gather my people together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And how happy and blessed an experience it is to see Christians gathered together in every part of the world, fellowshipping together in divine things. Well, this is the divine pattern of things. When you come to the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you read that they that believed were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. It was a fellowship together. And so, after the experience of blessing in the soul, we brought into association with God's people of like mind and of like experience. And allow me yet to digress for a moment. And seeing it as a young people's meeting, I'll tell you something about my own life and my early experiences of that. And I know it interests young people. I wasn't always an old chap, you know. I was a young man once. And I was born way back in the southern tip of Africa. You say the wives of Africa. Well, you believe what you like. And I was born in a real old-fashioned family. My mother had 7 sons and 4 daughters. And that's a real old-fashioned family. Not a specimen boy and a specimen girl. And that's the beginning and the end. More than that. And I was born way down the middle. And my mother used to say to me, you know, my boy, you give me more trouble than the other 10 put together. I said, so what? And many other things, my mother leveled at me, and she said, you know, you're a real, real, real knockout. You're really, really. And one day, she became a prophetess. You know, mothers become prophetesses too. Did you know that? And my mother prophesied that I wouldn't live to see 21. I said, is it as bad as all that? So what? But anyhow, my mother took me to church. Thank God for every mother that takes their children to church where the Word of God is read. But I went to an Anglican church. And the preacher in that Anglican church was as dead as a dodo. I don't know if you understand our expression. And he dished up old bones every Sunday night. And I could smell they were old bones by the way he dished them up. And during sermon time, I was only a lad, 14 years of age, right over there, and I used to go to sleep at sermon time. My mother used to nudge me and say, you know, you mustn't sleep when the minister preaches. Oh, I said, I thought you must sleep when he preaches. Because it was so disinteresting. But anyway, one day I was taken by my mother to a meeting. I don't know under the auspices of what, but this I know, that the man challenged us with a fact of God's loving Christ. And you know, it really hit me. And it really got me. And it really stuck to me. And I couldn't shake it off. I said to myself in my boy's mind and heart, the Lord Jesus Christ died at the place called Calvary for sinners, and he's not a sinner. How can it be? It worried me. It really worried me. And I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't eat, and I couldn't rest. But who could I go to? I couldn't go to any of my brothers or sisters. I couldn't go to my father and mother. I couldn't go to that parson, because I knew he was as dark as night. He wouldn't know a thing about it. Anyhow, troubling for quite a while. And I remember one afternoon I went out in the open fields. And the place where we lived, and I walked across the field until I came to a tree stump. It was an oak tree. And I knelt by that tree stump, and I got hold of it as my altar. And I said, God, I know you're there. And I know you sent your son to die for me. And I believe it, God, I believe it. And I pleaded with God to cleanse me from my sin. Using a verse of a hymn we had sang in the Anglican church. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. And wash me in thy precious blood, and take my sin away. And I prayed as I never prayed before in my life. And after I prayed for a while, in the deep conviction of sin in me, I felt a burden roll away. And a flood of joy come over my being, and I thought, what's this all about? And I got more worried after this than I was before. Because I never heard anybody tell of an experience of salvation. Well, I went home and I thought, well, something's happened, I don't know what. Well, at least I feel relieved of the conviction and sense of guilt that weighed me down. But long after that, I met a young fellow. He was a farmer's son in the district where we lived, and he said, Dudley, must have noticed some difference in my life, whatever it was, I don't know. He said, Dudley, what about coming to a Bible reading? I said, what's a Bible reading? He said, where they read the Bible. So, simple as that. I said, excuse my ignorance. And I went to a Bible reading, and there for the first time, I heard about the assurance of salvation. And after that, he said, you know, would you like to come to a meeting of Christians? I said, well, I'll come. And I went along and I went to a little meeting, and there sitting around the table with a cloth and a cup and some bread, we sat around this table, and I thought it was the strangest meeting I ever saw. And after the meeting he said, Dudley, what do you think about it? And I said, you got no pastor in this place. And I said, you got no officiating minister in this place. And you got no choir in this place. What's the matter with you people?
And you know, God opened my eyes after he spoke the word of life into my soul and entered in my heart. He brought me to a place of fellowship. And you know that brother, he's gone to be with the Lord last year. We were harnessed together in this work for 40 years. And under the good hand of God, we saw the work of God prosper. So much so that the hall where we witnessed the word of God can accommodate something like 700 to 800. Before I left, plans were set afoot to enlarge the hall to accommodate 1,000. Such is the blessing of God upon that place. But the point I want to make is after the Lord Jesus Christ entered my heart by faith, by grace, he brought me to a place of fellowship, communion with himself. And so, dear friend, lost away dwellest thou, come and see, in the place of gathering together of God's people. For did he not say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So come further and keep the question in our mind, Master, where dwellest thou? And as we turn over in this passage we read in the Gospel by Luke, and we are still following Peter, and we've still got the question looming in our minds, Master, where dwellest thou? In the heart, in the place of assembly, the place of fellowship. And we read in verse 38, it says, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Well, Peter must have thought, well, I didn't bargain for this. Well, he came into my heart, and then he led me into the synagogue, but now he comes into my house. And it doesn't say Peter even invited him. He says, he arose. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had not only taken possession of Peter's heart as the Savior, but he had claimed Peter's life as his Lord. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Peter preaching to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, he said, God hath made the same Jesus, whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ. And you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. He takes over command of Peter's hall. Some places and some people got the idea that we can departmentalize in divine things. And we say, well, we don't mind getting saved, and we don't mind having religion, but just so far. And we kind of compartmentalize. Not in my home, Lord. It's all right in the assembly. Religion is all right for that. Christianity is all right for my heart and for the assembly. But don't come any closer than that. He entered into Peter's home. And when he entered into Peter's home, we find he brings blessing. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and he besought him for her. And there Christ ministered to the need of Peter's home, and he brings blessing as a result. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to enter into our hearts, and he wants to take possession of all. After the Lord saved the great apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, well, during the operation, Paul spoke a word which is very significant and which marked him the rest of his day. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And this characterized his life. Paul submitted to the Lordship of Christ in every sphere and department of his life. Hence the blessing and enrichment that he experienced. Do we introduce the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in into our homes? And if the Lord Jesus Christ does come into the hall, he'll bring blessing. But if there is not a condition in our homes complies with his word, with his will, is the Lord Jesus Christ not disappointed with what he sees? The sanctification of the home is a very, very important thing. And we should see to it, beloved, that in our home there is nothing that meets his disapproval, because we may grieve him by what he sees. Well, you say, well, name what he sees, or what he disapproves of. Well, that is a question of individual conscience. The scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And he that he's condemned if he doesn't eat by faith. And so our conscience must guide us as to what we allow in our home. And that is a matter of personal persuasion and individual responsibility. Some years ago we were in Scotland, and the friends were not at home when we arrived, and the note was at the door. We got out shopping, and we'd be back later on, just wait for us to return. And whilst we were idling in the home, I looked around for something to read. And sitting in the lounge, I stretched out for what I thought would be helpful reading matter to spend the time until our friends came back. And as I turned to the side, and I picked up the first book, True Romance. And I looked at another one, True Love Story. And so I went to the, I saw the Christian's Home. Not much good stuff there. This is what they read. Oh dear. I couldn't find a Bible. I couldn't find a religious book there. And this is what they got in the home. Oh dear. If I was disappointed, how much more the law? And so you see, Christ, when he comes into the heart, he comes into the assembly, but he comes into the home. We should be very careful that our home is a fit state and condition, meets with his approval, can bring his blessing. And every Christian home should be a place where the Word of God is read daily. But if the Word of God is not read daily, it cannot truthfully be called a Christian home. Now blessed it is, we go into the homes of some of God's people and we see that beautiful text. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. We say, God bless the home where Christ is given his rightful place. And we were preaching in Wales one day, and a lady said to me, Mr. Dudley, I've got something for you. She says, okay, I got a hymn that we used to sing years ago, and I'm sure you'll be interested in getting the words of the hymn. I said, let's have a look at it. She dug out an old hymn book, and she read the words to me, and I said to her, now you give me those words. I'd like to copy them, and I'd like to take them back. It refers to Christ in the home. And these are the words I penned from that old hymn book in Cardiff in Wales. It speaks about the heading of it is Idols in the House. And it says, so many people of today are destitute of power, just plain to see they cannot stand temptation's crying hour. By way of an apology, my weakness is their cry. It's all because of idols they're using on the sly. Some smoke and chew tobacco. Some love their fancy dress. Others have wronged their fellow men, refusing to confess. They wonder why they are not blessed as in the days of yore. It's all because of idols just in behind the door. You need not go to heathen lands to find a household god. To look upon idolatry, you need not go abroad. For in this land where gospel light is shining all around, if you just look behind the door, an idol may be found. That shelf behind the door, don't use it anymore. But quickly clean the corner out from ceiling to the floor. The Savior wants his temple clean. He cannot bless you more unless you clear those idols out from in behind the door. I thought, how apt. How careful when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the hall. For he does command, as he came into Peter's hall. And our behavior should be becoming to what we profess. Master, where dwellest thou? In the heart, in the assembly, in the hall. And our whole bearing in the hall should be in keeping with our testimony. Our home demeanor should characterize the fact that we are Christians. Very often, we are Christians in unsaved homes, and they do not behave as Christians. And of course, this is a very bad testimony as far as the believer is concerned and as far as unsaved parents are concerned. We should be submissive to our parents and accept that order which they desire to observe in their home, providing it doesn't clash with the word of God. And now we read that from the synagogue they went into the house, but from the house in chapter 5, it says, he entered into one of the ships which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat in and taught the people. From Peter's home, he goes to the seaside, down the road of Peter, and he enters into Peter's ship. In other words, he enters into Peter's sphere of labor. He enters into the business sphere of Peter's life. Well, Peter could have said, well, I didn't realize that when I accepted him as my Savior, that he would come into every department of my life. He's been in the, I've received him, he's coming to the assembly, he's coming to my home, and now he enters into my ship. And we don't read that Peter told him which ship was his. It says he entered into one of the ships which was Simon's. And then he prayed Peter to thrust out a bit of the land. And he takes control of Peter's business. He enters into Peter's work sphere. And he brings blessing. And you know, young man, you know, young woman, we should acknowledge the Lordship of Christ in every department of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to take possession of our whole life. And he wants us to consult him in regard to our careers and our occupation as far as our careers are concerned. Why do you think the scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, not some of thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And you know, we shouldn't make any moves, even in our work sphere, even in the department of our occupation, without consulting him. With the words of Paul, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And you know, God, he can bring blessing. And if we acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, we'll experience the blessing of the Lord in the sphere of our labor. I can mention many people who have acknowledged God as Lord in every department of their lives, and I have seen the evidence of divine blessing upon them, prospering them according to his will, because they submit to his Lordship. And the scripture says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow therewith. Master, where dwellest thou? In the business with the child of God. But come a little further. And after the Lord Jesus Christ uses Peter's boat and blesses the boat, he turns to Simon Peter in verse 4 of chapter 5, and he says, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. He's entering into the fifth sphere of Peter's life. He's now entering the sphere of Peter's public service for God. And again he takes the initiative, as he does on all the other occasions. He says, Peter, launch out into the deep. I am directing operation. Peter made a mistake later on in the 21st chapter of the Gospel by John, where he said, I go a fishing. And he caught nothing. But now the Lord is directing operations. Peter, launch out into the deep. And lay down your nets for a draught. And Simon Peter said to the Lord, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And if you know anything about fishing, if there's no fish at a certain spot, there's no fish. It's all about it. I do a bit of fishing in South Africa. And I know if there's no fish there, you can put all the best bait on you like, and there's just no fish. And you better shift your position and go somewhere else. And then cast in a hook, or then cast in your net, and you may find something. But the Lord says, Peter, now you just act in faith and obedience. Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Peter says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, Peter, now he's acting in implicit obedience, simple trust and faith. He's not acting in human reason, or depending on his understanding, or anything of the sort. He's now just entirely depending upon the guidance and the instruction of the Lord. And it says he goes out, and when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they had bread. And Peter was so amazed at it. He was astonished at it. He was so struck by the flash of the Lord's deity being manifested. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Not that he meant the Lord to leave him, but he was amazed at the manifestation of the power of God in his life against the background of his own unbelief. And you know, dear friend, if you and I would just trust the Lord fully and completely in every sphere and department of our life, we will prove, as did Peter, the fullness of the blessing of God in life and service. Do you know why we don't experience the blessing of God in all its fullness in our lives? It's because we don't trust Him fully. What does the hymn say? "They that trust Him wholly find Him wholly true." We must be prepared to let go and let God take over and trust in the Lord completely and fully, submitting to His Lordship. "Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see." You see how the Lord dwelt in Peter's life. "Great multitude of fishes." Peter's astonished at it. Peter is the recipient of the blessing of God in his life and everywhere. And so as we review for a few moments the Lordship of Christ in the life of Peter, we've got five lessons. And I stress the fact again that if the Lord Jesus Christ is not Lord of my whole life, He's not Lord at all, I must be prepared to submit to Him and say, "Lord, I surrender my life to Thee completely, resignedly, unconditionally. Say, Lord, take control of my life and use me, direct me, bless me, undertake for me, for Thy glory." You'll be surprised what the Lord will do. The Lord had in the beginning said to Peter, "Thou art, thou shalt be." Realism, idealism, what you are by nature, what you'll be by the grace of God, what you are in actuality, what you'll be in reality. And so, dear friend, young man, young woman, you place yourself in the hand of the Lord. Submit to His Lordship in every way. Pray for His direction and His guidance in every step of your life's pathway. And prove the richness and abundance of the blessing of God in your life and service. "Master, where dwellest thou?" In the heart. You can't dwell in the other parts of your being and your occupation if it doesn't come into the heart. That is where it begins. And Christ must enter into the heart of the individual. And we read in the scripture, He entered into a nameless place. And He said, "Come and see." Well, you can't name the person's heart. And the Lord Jesus dwells in the hearts of all who put their trust in Him. That's why He said, "You come and see. I dwell in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. I don't dwell in any place with a designated name." I know in the world today, people say, "God dwells in that building, and God dwells in that building. And that is the house of God. And that is the house of God." God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. God dwells in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, who are willing to invite Him in and trust Him. So He dwells in the heart. Then He dwells in the place of assembly, the place of fellowship. Then He dwells in the home. Then He dwells in the business. Then He dwells in our public service, taking over control, directing operations, and using us for His glory. Young man, young woman, the very best thing you can do with your life is to place it in the hand of God. The young man serving in a shoe shop in America, and there were two Christians conversing within his hearing. And the one Christian gentleman said to the other that God is yet, the world is yet to see what God will do with a man. He's totally committed to himself. The world is yet to see what God will do with a man who is totally committed to it. The young man heard them say that, and he said, "By the grace of God, I'll be that man." And his name was Dwight L. Moody. D. L. Moody went away, and he submitted to Christ in all the fullness of his being, and he submitted to the Lordship of Christ. I needn't tell you the story. How God raised him up as a mighty man of God, and he took the continents of America in one hand and the continents of Europe in the other, and he drew them together to God in a mighty work of revival. Why? He submitted to the Lordship of Christ in every department and every detail of his life. Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see.